Hello, my name is Steve Masler from TroutU.com, and I would like to welcome you to our Cyber Guide series of trout fishing related podcasts. These podcasts will generally discuss in-depth and advanced topics on trout fishing. So, now on to our podcast. Identifying the insects that trout eat. In today's podcast, we're going to cover some basics of identifying the aquatic insects that are most important to trout fishermen. An aquatic insect is one that is born and lives most of its life in the water, whereas a terrestrial insect is one that is born on land and spends all its life on land, unless it accidentally falls or is blown into the water. Mayflies, caddisflies, stoneflies, and midges are aquatic insects. Grasshoppers, ants, crickets, etc. are terrestrial insects. There are others that fit into these categories, such as damselflies, dragonflies, craneflies, etc., but for the most part, this represents the insects trout eat. We'll now discuss the characteristics of the various aquatic insects that are important to trout. We'll begin with the mayfly nymphs. Mayfly nymphs have either two or three tails. They can be easily confused with stonefly nymphs. If you're not sure, check their legs. Mayfly legs end with a single claw and stonefly nymphs with two claws. Plate-like gills are present along the abdomen of a mayfly. Next, we'll move along to stonefly nymphs. Stonefly nymphs have two short tails. Their legs end with two claws. They either have no visible gills or their gills are found under their head or upper body. Caddisfly larvae. A caddisfly larva looks like a little worm, or if it is a cased caddis, a little worm in a case with its head and maybe its tail stuck out. They are very easy to distinguish from a mayfly or stonefly nymph. Finally, the midge larva. A midge larva is a tiny, worm-looking creature that is usually burrowed in the soft bottom of the stream or lake. They can be confused with an uncased caddisfly larva, but for the most part are much smaller. Now let's look at the adult flies. Adult mayflies. Mayfly adults look like little sailboats on the water. They have two larger upright wings and can and usually do have two little ones called hind wings. Adult stoneflies have four wings, but they are folded flat on top of the fly and look like one wing when they are at rest. In the air, they look larger than they really are. Adult caddisflies also have four wings, but they are folded in a tent shape when the fly is at rest. They too look much larger in the air than they really are. Midges are tiny two-winged flies that look like mosquitoes. Much of the time, they are difficult to see in the air or on the water. Don't just assume the small flies you see are midges. They may be mayflies. Take a closer look. You should learn to be able to recognize these four different types of flies as a nymph or larva, as a pupa if this stage of life exists, and as a full-grown adult, whether they are at rest, on the water, or in the air. There are others, but they are easy to tell apart, such as the crane fly, the dragonfly, and the damselfly. Now we'll go into a little more detail on each of these flies, starting with the mayfly. The mayfly life cycle is one of incomplete metamorphosis, meaning that it starts life as an egg and then as a nymph that has several stages of growth, or instars, as they are called. In other words, they get larger and larger during the 1 to 2 years, usually one, that they are nymphs. When they hatch, they turn into adult flies, which anglers call duns. In short, the life cycle of a mayfly is an egg, a nymph, and a dun. During its entire life, which is usually a year, but can be 2 years, depending on the species, the mayfly is a fly with wings only for a day or two, sometimes even less. Caddisflies and midges undergo complete metamorphoses, which means they start as an egg, then become a larva, then a pupa, and finally an adult. There are basically four types of mayfly nymphs. The swimming nymphs that actually can swim, some like a minnow and others not so good. For example, the Betis species and most other blue-winged olives are swimmers. The slate-winged drake is a strong swimmer. The swimmers are available for trout to eat most of the time. Then there is the burrowing nymph that lives most of its life in burrows in the bottom of the stream's soft soil or fine gravel. Most of these are the big drakes. These are only available to trout some of the time, mainly when they come out of their holes to eat or hatch. The clinger nymphs can attach themselves to a rock and live most of their lives under rocks in fast water. They are only available to trout at certain times, such as just before the hatch. And finally, there are the crawlers. For the most part, these are moderate water nymphs, but their habitat can vary quite a bit. Sulfurs and Hendricksons are examples of crawler nymphs. The mayfly hatch. Near the end of the year or second and even third year in a very few cases, the mayfly nymphs hatch. In other words, they turn into a fly. They do this by 1. Swimming to the surface and shedding their nymphal shucks, 2. Crawling to the bank or up rocks or plants to emerge, 3. In some cases, emerging on the bottom and swimming to the surface as a fly. You need to know which way this activity occurs, when it occurs, and where it occurs for all the mayfly species you may encounter. Most of them swim or float to the surface, aided by gas bubbles, and hatch into a fly. During this time, they can easily be eaten by trout. This is when we fish in a merger pattern or a fly that represents the nymph changing into a fly with wings. If it crawls out of the water to emerge, we don't need to imitate the dun. The dun will never touch the water. Slate drakes do this, for example. When the mayflies hatch, they fly off to the trees or bushes for a short time. They stay there for a few hours, up to 2 or 3 days, depending on the species and the weather conditions. During this time, almost all duns change into what we call a spinner. They actually shed their thin shucks, their tails get longer, and their wings get clearer. In layman terms, they become sexually mature. After they become a spinner, the males will usually congregate out over the water. They typically dance up and down, supposedly to attract the females, who join them shortly afterwards. Then they mate and the males drop dead. In most cases, or with most species, the females fly back to the trees, their eggs develop. After a few minutes or hours, again, depending on the species and weather, they fly back out over the water and deposit their eggs. There are 3 ways in which they deposit their eggs. 1. Some drop them from the air. 2. Some dip to the water and drop them. And 3. Some dive to the bottom and paste them to rocks and plants. After depositing their eggs, the females die and fall to the water, or if they dive to deposit their eggs, they rise to the surface and float off. If they drop their eggs from the air, you do not need to imitate the female spinners at all as an egg layer. You may imitate them dead in what we call a spent position, with the wings flat but not dipping to the water or diving under the water. If the mayfly dives to deposit her eggs, you need to be fishing a wet fly to imitate that activity. Now for a brief overview of the stoneflies. Like the mayflies, stoneflies undergo incomplete metamorphosis. Again, this simply means that they start life as an egg, change to a nymph, and finally an adult. You will see shortly that caddisflies and midges have another stage of life, the pupa. Stonefly nymphs. Most of the stonefly nymphs are clingers, but there are others called sprawlers. Like the clinger mayfly nymphs, they spend most of their life down between and underneath rocks. For the most part, they are not available for trout to eat until they move to the banks or crawl upon rocks to hatch. All of the stoneflies that are important to anglers crawl out of the water to hatch. They do this on the bottom of the stream. During this time, they are subject to being eaten by trout. This is when the nymph imitation is most effective. Stonefly adults. When the nymphs crawl on the bank or upon a rock, they transition into adults. The adults quickly fly off into the bushes and other streamside vegetation. The stoneflies mate and do not return to the water until they deposit their eggs or otherwise accidentally get into the water. Some of the stoneflies drop their eggs from the air, but most of them actually dip to the water to deposit their eggs. This is when we imitate the female adults. Now on to caddisflies. Caddisflies undergo complete metamorphosis. This simply means the caddisfly starts its life as an egg, then changes to a larva, changes to a pupa, and finally changes to an adult. Caddisflies and midges have one more stage of life to imitate than the mayflies and stoneflies. Next, the caddisfly larva. The caddisfly larva comes in 2 basic forms, cased and uncased. To get a little more technical, they come in 5 basic varieties: the free-living caddises, net spinners, saddle case makers, purse case makers, and tube case makers. The larvae, uncased or the cased variety, look like worms when out of their cases. They are segmented and have 6 legs and, of course, a head. Caddisfly pupae. When the larvae mature, they enter the pupal stage of life for a relatively short time. The cased varieties seal themselves inside their cases. The free-living variety build retreats and stay there until the metamorphosis is complete. You may be more familiar with a butterfly that lives in a cocoon in its pupa stage of life. When the pupae come out of their retreats, they are called ferae adults. They are fully formed, but they are still in a skin with their wings compressed. This is when most of the species are most subject to being eaten by trout. When we imitate the pupa, we are imitating the ferae adult. Most of them emerge on the surface of the water, but other species may rise to the surface and run across the water to the banks. Still others climb out onto rocks or the bank and hatch into adults. The adult caddisflies mate in the bushes or on the banks or rocks. The females return to the water and lay their eggs in different ways. Some deposit their eggs on the surface, some skitter across the water, knocking them off. Some crawl or dive to the bottom and deposit their eggs. Most caddisflies die away from the water, but others die during the egg-laying process. Now we'll move along to midges. Midges are another important aquatic insect that anglers need to be familiar with. The midge larvae look like tiny grub-like worms. There are 2 types, the ones that burrow in soft bottoms and the free swimmers that hide under rocks, sticks, and other debris. When the midge larvae change into the pupae stage of life, they are most subject to being eaten by trout. Most of these pupae emerge in the surface film. Often, the pupae have a difficult time breaking through the surface skin and changing into an adult. The midge pupae look quite similar to the larvae, except they have a wing pad area that is thicker than the body of the larvae. The midge pupa is the most important stage of life to imitate with a fly. The adult midge looks similar to a mosquito. They can be important to anglers during the time they are mating and depositing their eggs. They are imitated with tiny dry flies. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson on the insects that are important to trout. This will give you a brief overview of what to look for and help you begin to understand how to identify these insects.